left off 8 lines up from the bottom. Pei Zayin Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanon. Gimel Dvorim. Hitir Rabbi Chanina ben Akavi La'anshei Tveria. There are 3 things that Rabbi Chanina ben Akavi permitted for the people of Tveria. Number 1. Mimalin Mai Migustra B'Shabbos. You can go ahead and you could fill up water from a platform on Shabbos. So we discussed this yesterday and the day before. The way Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi allows for both kof and good. Next, the tomlin ba'atza, you could go ahead and you could, tomlin literally means you could insulate fruit, right? Which means you would preserve fruit ba'atza. Atza, Rabbi Rashi points out over here, if you look at Rashi, tomlin, perosein ba'atza psolas kitnis. This was the leftover stuff in the fields from legume plants. So the idea would be over here that you're going ahead and whatever the leftover part of the legumes that grow in the field, you would use this to go ahead and insulate or to preserve fruit. The issue over here is going to be, as you're going to see in just a moment, that very often this leftover legume planting was wet, and we know that ultimately a food item becomes hukshur l'tuma if it comes in contact with liquid. So the shayla is, does the liquid from the refuse of the legume plant, is that makshir, the food item for tumah or not? And lastly, umistabkin ba'alontis. And he paskin that you could dry off with a bath towel on Shabbos. So the Gemara analyzes each of these things. The Gemara says, Mamalin mayim migustra b'Shabbos, hoda amran. So that Rabbi Yechanan ibn Akavia permitted you to draw water from a platform, that we already talked about. So what is this idea that you can go ahead and you could insulate your tumah literally means insulate. What it means is you could preserve. That you could go ahead and you could preserve the fruit with with the legume refuse from the field. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Desanya, Hishkim Lahavi Psolas. If a person got up early in the morning to go ahead and bring the leftovers of the legume plants into the house in order to go ahead and preserve the fruit in his home. So, im bishvil sheyesh alav tal, harei b'chiyutan. If you got up early to do this because the dew is still on the refuse of the plant, then that means that what? That you want the liquid. If you want the liquid of both sides, then when that liquid comes in contact with the fruit, so what's the halacha? The halacha is that it's machshif tumah. Again, remember, a food item cannot be makabel tumah unless, of course, it first comes in contact with liquid. So if Yedavka went out early because he wanted to get the legume plant with the dew on it, it shows you want the liquid. That's what it means, bechiyutan. Chiyutan is the pasuk that speaks about food items becoming hukshar l'tumah. So then the item becomes hukshar l'tumah. But if the only reason you went out early to go ahead and get the legume plant is so you shouldn't have to miss any work, then ain't no bechiyutan. Then ultimately, then you're not subject. It's not machshul tuma because you didn't really want the liquid. So the Gemara says, ustam tapa peches, ustam anshei Tveria, kamishul yivatal mimalach dami. And the Pashas of Chananya ben Akavia said that in Tveria, when the people go out early to go ahead and get the refuse of the legume plant, why are they doing it? Not because they want to do, but rather because they don't want to miss any work. In which case, Rabosai, then the dew on the plant is not machshir, the food item lekabel tumah. Umistabkin ba'alon tismahi. And what does it mean that you could dry off with a bath towel on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Desanya, mistabig adam ba'alon tis. A person could dry off with a bath towel on Shabbos. Rabosai, this over here, Pashas is talking about bathing in cold water, because you can't bathe in hot water on Shabbos. So let's say one was bathing in cold water. So what can you do? You can go ahead and you could dry off with a towel on Shabbos. Also remember, that was Gzeras Merchatz. We spoke about that earlier already in the Sechah Shabbos, that even preheated water you can't use on Shabbos. But let's say a person did cold bathing. So what happens? The person dries off with the towel. The issue over here with going ahead and drying off with the towel is a concern of wringing the towel out. If you wring the towel out on Shabbos, that's an issue of melaving. Melaving is the melacha of laundering. So Rashi points out over here, mistabek adam b'yom tov, either on Yom Tov, u b'Shabbos imrachatz b'tzonein. So either on Yom Tov, and again Rashi's pointing out over here that Mikra didn't, one could bathe even in hot water on Yom Tov, although l'maisa we know not everybody paskins that way, u b'Shabbos imrachatz b'tzonein. Or for that matter, on Shabbos, if you went ahead and you washed in cold water, mistapik ba'alontis, you could dry off with a towel, ve'in choshishin shema yiskot, and we're not concerned that you'll come to wring out the towel. Umani chabachalon, you leave it in the window. We're talking about the window by the bathhouse. Ve'lo yim serena le'ul yorid, and you should not give it to the bathhouse attendant. Why not? Because the bathhouse attendant, they're suspect for what? For that thing. What's that thing? For wringing out the towel. Why? Because the bathhouse attendants are responsible for making sure that everybody gets a dry towel when they walk in. Therefore, I don't give it to the bathhouse attendants because he'll wring it out. So the Gemara says, also the Rav Shim says, Af mevia biyado lesoch beso. Rav Shimon says that you could even go ahead and what? Bring it with you. Bring it by hand to your house. Look at Rashi. Af mevia biyado ve'in choshishin shema yishkach v'yischot. And there's no concern that a person will come to forget and wring it out. So also these were the three statements that Rabbi Chanan ibn Akavya made. Amar Rav Barafuna. Lo shana ela lemalos. So we'll say now back to our previous discussion. So comes along Rabbi Nehem Rav Huna and says, we only learned this dispensation to fill up water. Aval lishbo chaser. But to pour out water would be aser. Now what is it talking about? Look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. Lo shanu, shemechitza tluya materis pegustra l'rabban ela lemalos. That we also, says Rabbi Nehem Rav Huna, that we only learn this idea, also remember Mechitza Tuluya, which means that again, the case the Gemara gave before was the Gustra, was the Mishnah, was the Gustra, the platform, and the platform has a Mechitza of 10 Tfachim. And even though that Mechitza does not reach all the way down to the water, we say good achis, we extend the walls all the way down, so that when you draw water, you're drawing water from an enclosed area. So now Rabbi says in Rav Huna that this dispensation was only said in order to go ahead and draw water. However, aval lishpoch, but to pour out water, that's aser. Rashi says, aval lishpoch, shovchin benekev lemayim aser. Why can't you pour out water through the hole in the floor, in the gustra? Bipnei shanar molech es ha-shovchin chutz l'mechitzas ha-gustra. Because we'll say, in that case over there, remember, what's going to happen when you pour the water out? So the river, the body of water, is going to take that spilled water elsewhere, which ultimately means that you have effectively transferred water from your rishus into the rishus of the Carmelis. So the Gemara says,
in drawing the water, you have to make sure the pail doesn't move outside of...
It would stay in the mechitza, correct, at least in the imaginary lines of the mechitza. Maskev Rav Shizvi. So Rav Shizvi raises a kasha. V'chi ma bein ze l'uka. Aye, but what's the difference between this and l'uka? So we'll say, we will see the uka in the next Mishnah. I'll look at Rashi for just a moment. V'chi ma bein ze l'uka. Disnan b'masnis in chater shepos shepachusa me arba amos in shovchin l'soch hamayim ele imkin asula uka. What's an uka? Guma machzekes sasayim. It's a pit. Essentially, it's like a cesspool. It's a pit that would go ahead and contain wastewater. So machzekes sasayim v'tani ala af apish nismala ha'uka mi ba'od yom shovchin l'mayim b'shabes af apish hamayim yotzin hemen alur shtarabim. Rabbi said, we're going to see in the next Mishnah that Lamaisa, as long as your uka is of a certain basic size, even if you know it's going to overflow by going ahead and pouring additional waste into it, and that's going to overflow into the Shtram, that's not a problem. So we'll see why. So the Gemara says, so why should this be any different than the uka? Sure, your pour is going to flow into the Shtrabim, or it's going to flow into the Carmelis, but at the end of the day, you're pouring it into your Rishos, or into the Rishos of the Mechitzos. To which the Gemara says, Hani taimi, lehani lo taimi, for one simple reason. The reason why the cesspool, technically speaking, works is because the assumption is a good part of the waste gets absorbed into the ground. However, in the case of where you're pouring it out from the mechitz into the water, obviously nothing is getting absorbed. Ika da'amru, others have a different version of this discussion. Amar Rabba Barav Huna, lo teima lemalos hu deshari, lishboch aser, ella lishboch nami shari. Suppose there was a different version of the statement of Rav Nehem Rav Huna. According to this version, Rav Rav Huna was saying, not only is it permitted to go ahead and fill up water from this mechitza built into the gustra, but you can even pour out water. Amar Rav Shizvi says, Shita, that's obvious. Hainu uka, it's no different than the cesspool. Maudetim, what would I have said? Hanu taimi, vahani lo taimi. I might have said that at the end of the day, the reason why the cesspool works is because it gets absorbed into the walls of the pit versus the water that does not get absorbed. Kamash Malon, we still allow the spilling out of the water. So what comes out is two different girsos as to how to understand the case of Shvicha. In the first version of the Rabbah in the name of Rav Huna, so Rabbah Rav Huna was not permitting pour, he was permitting drawing of water from the gustura, but not permitting pouring out of water. And the reason why we weren't permitting pouring out of water was because lemaisa, the water will automatically be transferred into the karmelis. In the second version, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is allowing pouring out of water, and the logic would seem to be because at the end of the day, lemaisa, we assume when you pour out that water, so to speak, gets absorbed in the water that's directly within the purview of the mechitza, or within the boundaries of the mechitza. And then afterwards, once it flows out, we're not worried about that. The Rambam happens to paskin like that second version, that pouring out the water would be permitted. Okay. The chin shteis gustura. So we'll say, if you remember again, the Mishnah's case was when you had two gusturos, two balconies. We actually had this case earlier as well. This is the case of one balcony on top of the other, not directly atop, not directly, but diagonally. And remember, the upper balcony, is the one that has the mechitza. So now, what the Mishnah said was, shtei hanasuros achi arvu. Neither could draw water until what? Until they make a joint eruv together. Because remember, both say the bottom one does not have a mechitza, the upper one does have a mechitza, and the bottom one therefore would also access the water below through the mechitza of the upper gustura. So says the Gemara, Amarav Huna Amarav, Lo Shano Ela Besmucha. That's only true if the two gusturos were close to each other. Avaba Muflages, but if they are separate, El Yona Muteres, then the upper one is permitted. But I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. El Yona Muteres, Keda Amrinon, De'in Tashmish Letachtona Be'El Yona, Ela Derech Avir Zrikas Meshach Arba Tvachim. So we'll say, well, I'm sorry, first I'll go back just for a moment to the previous Rashi, Besmucha. She'en rechokim itachtona the meshach hakosel arba'a tefachim. So we'll say the Gemara is suggesting over here that lemaisa, that's only true if the two gusturos were close to each other, which Rashi is defining as four tefachim. If, however, if they're not close to each other, then I will say what we say is the upper one has usage of the mechitza, what we call bederach nachos in an easier fashion, versus the lower one which has usage of the area in a more difficult fashion. And we've already established multiple times that whenever two areas access one joint area, but one has ease of use, one has difficulty, the area is awarded to the one who has ease of use. So because of that, Rav Osai says the Gemara, that in that case, the upper one would consider to be the owner of the mechitzos and not the lower ones, and therefore the upper one could use it even in the absence of an eruv with the lower one. So the Gemara says, V'rav l'tameh. And Rav goes according to his reasoning. The Amarav, Ein Adam Oser Al Chabero Derech Avir, a person does not prohibit his friend's rishos through Avir, ultimately through airspace. Because we'll say in this case over here, essentially because they're not next to each other, the only real way for the lower one to access the upper one is for him to lob the bucket through the airspace. If that's the case, then common airspace does not go, or use of airspace does not prohibit one on the other. So we'll say what it's saying is, once they're so far apart, and the only way for the lower one to access the upper one is by use of the avir in between, the lower one is considered to have a more complicated usage of the upper mechitzos, the upper one is considered to have an easier usage of the mechitzos, and therefore the area is awarded to the upper one. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Chia, Rav Yosi, Amar Rav Oshia, Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. So we'll say it's an interesting statement. There is theft on Shabbos. That's what it reads, but we'll see. It's not really what it means. V'chorva machzir lebailim. And we return a ruin to its owner. So we'll say, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yesh kezal b'Shabbos v'chorva machzir lebailim. Hashta sagadait chadahachi kamar. So we'll say, Rashi's going to tell us, at first, this is what we assume the Gemara means, but we're going to see it's not what the Gemara means. But let's go with what we think the Gemara means. Hashta sagadait chadahachi kamar. Mutar ligzal b'Shabbos. Right, Rishuyos, Ulishnamish ba Bichorvasa Shachaviras Mukhalo, Kihechi Duragil ba Bichol. So listen to this following case. Ruven and Shimon. Or let's say island next to Ruven. Ruven happens to have own a ruin, and the ruin is right next to my property. I use this ruin all the time during the week, and I don't ask Ruven's permission. I don't ask him, we barbecue there, we picnic there, whatever it is, you know, I do everything in that ruin. So what happens? Now the truth is, Ruvein never uses this area because it's a ruin. So So we'll say what's interesting is there is a concept in halacha as well as squatter's rights. Right, this idea that if you use a property, we're not going to get into this right now, but if I use a particular piece of property in sight of the owner, and the owner never says anything, so I have a shtickle claim. We're not going to get into what exactly that is right now, but suffice it to say, I have a connection to that property. And what happens? Nevertheless, machzir lebailim, mashma al karcho, iser shabbos, machzir lebailim, bitzarach lachzira. The ain kanuya lo ama ashtad shashas. We'll also listen to this. Even though during the week I use it, and I use it even without the permission of the owner, comes Shabbos, what's the halacha? Comes Shabbos, that property is returned to its owner. Now we'll say, what does that mean? See, I might have thought the following. Since I use it during the week without permission, so therefore I should be able to access it on Shabbos even without what? Even without any kind of eruv chatzeros. Because at the end of the day, it's like my chatzer. Kamash Mulan says the Gemara, Yesh Gezel b'Shabbos. Right, the churva machzir lebailim. There is theft on Shabbos. I'll discuss the verbiage, but the churva, the ruin, goes back to its owner, which means that for Shabbos purposes, this area is owned by Reuven, which means I can't access it or I can't carry in it without an eruv chatzeros with Reuven. So the Gemara says hoku fakasha, but your phraseology is contradictory. Amrit yesh gezel b'Shabbos. When you say there is theft on Shabbos, that makes it sound like ama kanya churva. That makes it sound like, we'll say, there's this, such a concept called a kinyan gezela. What does a kinyan gezela mean? It means that lemaisa, when I steal something, I own it. There is such a concept of a thief owning the actual object that he stole. That has many ramifications in halacha. So the Gemara says, when you tell me yesh gezel b'Shabbos, the way I interpret that statement is it means when I steal something, I acquire it, meaning that theft even works on Shabbos, which sounds like that when it comes to this churva, I am the owner, so to speak, of the churva, and I can use it without an eruv. However, then you say, I'm a kanya, the churva master lebailim, but then you say that the ruin goes back to its owner, I'm a lo kanya. So what does that say? That says that lemaisa, I don't own the ruin on Shabbos, which when is it? Hachi Karan, the Gemara says, this is what it means to say, yesh din gezel b'Shabbos, there is the laws of gezel, apply on Shabbos. Ketzad. What's the case? Ketzad. The churva machzir lebailim. What's the case of Osai where the din gezel applies on Shabbos? And the din gezel over here is veheshavas hagezela. The law of hashavas gezel, hashavas geneva, hashavas gezel applies on Shabbos. You have to return stolen items. What's the example of the case of a stolen item? The churva. The ruin that goes back to its original owner on Shabbos. Amarava, umosvinan hashmaitin. And we raise this question from our Mishnah. The chen shnei gusteraos zulam alamitu. Remember the Mishnah spoke about the two balconies, one on top of the other. V'i amrit yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. And if you say that there's a din gezel b'Shabbos, amaya suros. Tanabosei wash deviasin. Tanabosei, the assumption of that the Gemara is making over here is that the bottom gustera, accessed the upper gustera, not necessarily with the permission of the upper gustera. So if that's the case that you tell me that Shabbos returns all property to its original owner, so say that the bottom one doesn't have any rights in the upper one, and therefore Lemaisa, if the bottom one has no real rights in the upper one, then the bottom one should not aser the upper one, and the upper one should be able to use his mechitza to draw water, even without an eruv with the lower gustera. Rav Shesh is hachamai askinan, what's the case over here? The case of Iravosa is where they constructed the mechitza to draw water, b'shutfus, meaning they're partners. They both put in money to build this mechitza. If that's the case, ki asul tachton enami. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. If that's the case, that they built this mechitza together, so we'll say, I'll take it even a step further. Even if the bottom gustra, the bottom balcony, built his own mechitza, the upper one should still require an eruv with the lower one in order to be able to use his mechitza. Why? Because they're partners. Right? Jabal said, at the end of the day, so now what you've just amplified the kasha. Now you're telling me they built, so Jabal said, remember what the Gemara tried to do. The Gemara wanted to say, the reason why the upper one needs a mechitza with the lower one is because ultimately they built it b'shutfus. They built it together. But if that's the case, says the Gemara, then even if the lower one built its own mechitza, they should still require an eruv for the upper one to use his mechitza because it's joint ownership. To which the Gemara says, no. Kevan da asul tachtona, gali daita, da ana bahadach lo nechali. So the Gemara says, no, because once the bottom one built his own mechitza, that's clearly indicative of what? of his withdrawal from the upper one. Obviously, once he has his own, he no longer needs anything from the upper one. Once he no longer needs anything from the upper one, for Shabbos purposes, it's as if he's withdrawn his ownership interest, and therefore the upper one would not need to make an eruv with the lower one to draw water.
The lower one is still, it's less of a port bucket away from the upper one, and they both have their own.
That's correct.
So they need the eruv?
They don't need the eruv. Neither one. Everybody's accessing their own. Says the Mishnah. Well, so now we're going to get into some other interesting cases here. So if you have a chatzer that is less than 4 amos, ein shofkin besocha mayim b'shabbos. You can't pour water out in that chatzer on Shabbos. That was like the Pasha's, when it's talking about pouring water out, the Pasha's talking about waste. Waste. So you can't pour water out on Shabbos. We'll see why. Ela imkin asala uka machzekes sasayim min hanekev ulamata. Unless, of course, you made an uka. So we'll say, uka, remember, is our pit, our cesspool. So the only way you can, so again, I will say, this is a now a chatzer that is less than 4 amos. You can't pour water into it on Shabbos, unless, of course, you made an uka that is able to contain at least 2 sa'ah of water, of liquid, min hanekev, from the opening of the pit to the bottom. Bein li machutz, min bein li bifnim. Whether it's on the inside or whether it's on the outside, look at Rashi for just a moment. Bein li bifnim. Bein sha'asa le'uka b'soch ha'chatzer, bein sha'asa b'rishus ha'rabim samach l'chatzer. So we'll say, wherever you made the uka, whether you made the uka in your property, or whether you made the uka right in the rishus ha'rabim adjoining your property. Ela, shemi b'chutz tzarech likmar. Mi b'fnim ein tzarech likmar. The only difference, we'll say, is if you build an uka in your property, you need not cover it. But if you build an uka in the rishus ha'rabim, you have to go ahead and cover it. Likmar. So if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Elam shemichutz tzarech likmar, lachsos pia b'nesarim, sheyiflu hamayim yadav, l'toch makom p'tur. So as I will see, the idea over here would be that by enclosing it, what you have effectively done is the dimensions of this uka will be a makom p'tur. Because it's a makom p'tur, therefore any wastewater that flows from your chatzer into this cesspool, that in Rishus HaRabim will not be an act of hotzah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, or Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, says, Biv shehu kamor arba amos b'Rishus HaRabim. This is another interesting case. So a biv, look at Rashi just a moment, biv, charitz ha'asui lekaleach shofchin shebechatz shalom. Now we're going to see something very interesting. It was permitted, it was permitted to dump waste into Rosh Saradin. Now the Gemara will see, the Gemara here and elsewhere is in the Chalik between wintertime and summertime. But especially during wintertime when the roads are already muddy, people were dumping all kinds of stuff into the Rosh Saradin. That's literally where you disposed of your waste. So the Gemara here talks about an idea of a biv. A biv is like a pipe. This we'll call it a pipe. So a biv is a pipe. So Rashi points out charitz literally means like a furrow. But what it means is an in-ground pipe. Ha'asur lekalech shovchen shebechatzer shalav. That's designed to take the waste from your chatzer to the Rosh Sarabim. So the Mishnah says, if the biv is covered for 4 amos as it goes into Rosh Sarabim, then shovchen l'socho mayim b'shabbos. Then you could pour wastewater into it on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Shukamor b'meshach arba amos b'shurabim, kimlan ba'arba amos yesh shir livla b'hem sasayim mayim sha'adam asri listapik b'chodom." So, most like, first of all, the Mishnah presupposes that the average usage of water is 2 sa'ah per person per day. Well, actually, we'll discuss tomorrow how much that actually is. So that's the assumption, 2 sa'ah per person per day. So the Gemara therefore says, if you have covered pipe that runs for about, and remember, this is not supposed to say, when we say pipe, this doesn't actually literally mean that you're running a pipe. What it means is what? You've created a furrow in the earth, right? You've hollowed out a conduit. Good. But this is earth. This earth, because the whole chap is right, like a ditch, but an in-ground gutter hole that runs for a while. Good, that's the you understand the point, right? But the idea is that four amos of length of this area will be enough space for the waste to become absorbed into the ground. I'll say, you know, it's interesting, actually. There is this idea of getting absorbed, you know, even today. Right? They have these, what are they called? Self-composting septic tanks. That's the chup of a septic tank, right? That the waste, okay. They're just interesting. So already that's what they're doing in times of the Mishnah, that they're assuming that the waste gets absorbed into the ground, which ultimately is beneficial. So the Gemara goes weiter. So if you have a bib, if you have this covered, we'll call it a pipe, even though I don't want anybody to get confused, it's not really a pipe. But the bib, this covered conduit that goes to Arba'os or Shuram, Shofkin, L'Sochamayim, B'Shabbos. You could pour water into that, wastewater into that on Shabbos. So remember, this pipe is beginning in your chatzar, but it extends into the Shuravim. So as long as there's four amos of it covered, you could pour. V'cham l'cham say, afilu gag, o chatzar mea amo, lo yishpoch al pi habiv. So the Chacham say that even if you have a roof or a chatzar that's 100 amos, you can never pour directly into the biv. Look at Rashi. Lo yishpoch al pi habiv, kilomar besoch achoritz, va'af al pi shiyish orech mikan ad shiyatziu, ad yitziyosu mea amo, v'yicholim livlo, kevan di v'gufei kashafich mekalchi lehedja, so we'll also listen to this, very interesting. The Chum say, you can never pour directly in to the drainage pipe. That you can never do. Why? Because we'll say, where does the drainage pipe end up? Rosh Sarabim. The act of pouring directly into the drainage pipe is what? Is an act of, essentially, according to the Chum, directly pouring into Rosh Sarabim. And Rashi says over here, somebody who sees you doing that is going to assume that you could pour directly. From, and the concern is, if somebody sees you do that, what may they assume is mutter to pour directly from Shuyach to Shuram, which obviously could be Malacha Doraisa. So what do you do? Aval Shochechu Legag, you could pour it on your roof or on your friend's roof if he's not home, right? So you could go ahead, you could pour it on the roof, and what happens? V'hamayim yardim lebib. So essentially, the Chum say is you can't pour directly into the drainage pipe, but what you can do is you can pour in another area. That's what? That itself will drain into the pipe. So you could pour it on the roof. Pour it on the roof, and the roof will and the water, the wastewater will trickle down to the biv. Hachotzer soros. Okay, so fine. With that, so if you can imagine what it's really saying is, if you were to pour it on the roof, and the roof were to have a gutter system, which they had in times of the Mishnah as well. So then essentially the waste goes from the gutter into the biv. The Chum say essentially just has to be one step removed from pouring it directly into the pipe. So also remember, this is talking about over here, the Mishnah began by talking about two different types of chatzeros. If this is only, all of this stuff is only if the chatzer is less than 4 amos. If the chatzer is more than 4 amos, apparently you could just pour the wastewater directly into the chatzer. So now the Mishnah says that if you have a chatzer and achsadra is a portico, if you have two areas in the chatzer that they could combine to form 4 amos, v'chein shnei diotios, zo kinegedzu, and so too if you have two diotios we'll see are stories. Rashi says alios, upper stories of a building, one opposite the other, zu kinegedzu, miktsasan asu uka, or miktsasan lo asu uka, one group made a cesspool, one group did not, es sha asu uka mutarin, those who made the cesspool could pour out wastewater into the chatzer, es sha lo asu uka asru, and the ones who did not make a cesspool cannot pour out the wastewater. Sigmar says, my time, what's the reason? I will say, my time, what? Now Rav says over here, Chotze pechusami arba amos koi, demash mahar arba amos shar. So we'll say, the inference from the Mishnah is that if you have a chotze that's more than 4 amos, that you don't need a uka, you don't need any stuff, you could just pour the water, the wastewater, directly into your chotze. So Sigmar says, why is that? Amar Rabba, mipnei sha'adam oil asoy, listapik sasayim mayim b'chol yom. Because the general usage per person, the general usage of an individual per day is 2 sav water, which again we'll discuss how much that is tomorrow. Uba arba amos adam rotze lezalfon. Now we'll say when a person has 4 amos of space. So what happened when you had 4 amos is considered to be significant area. What would happen when you had a 4 amma yard? So we'll say very often people used to, they do this even inside their homes as well. You would sprinkle water on the ground in order to what? To keep the dust settled. So therefore, again, when you have a chatzer that's at least 4 amos, you would want to go ahead and sprinkle water anyway there. What? To keep the dust settled. So in this case over here, you'd be using the wastewater to go ahead and settle the dust. However, pachos midalid, shovchan, e da avid uka shari, e lo aser, but less than 4 amos for both sides. A person's not going to take the time to really care for that area. Therefore, we can't say that they're pouring the wastewater there to settle the dust. Therefore, the only way you could pour wastewater into that cluster is how? Is to go ahead and have a cesspool. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera says, Dalet Amos Taimi, Pachos Mi Dalet Amos Lo Taimi. Rabbi Zera says, no, that's not the reason. The reason is because when you have an area of Dalet Amos, that gives enough area for the wastewater to be absorbed in the chutzar before it goes ahead and flows out. Less than Dalet Amos, by definition, there's not enough space for it to be absorbed, and therefore it's going to flow out into Rosh Sarabim. My Benai, what's the difference between them? Amr Abayi, Orich V'Katin. So we'll say the Nafkamini would be a case of where, let's say, so we'll say when we say four Tfak with four Amos, we're assuming a 4x4 square. Let's say instead of a 4x4 square, it's, 8 Amos by 2 Amos. So what happens in that case? So the Gemara says again, we'll say, in that situation, Rabbi Zera would say it still works, because you still have the area in which it could flow before it flows out to the Shram. According to the first opinion, however, that wouldn't really be considered to be a real usable space, and therefore a person would not normally sprinkle water on that to keep down the dust. So the Mishnah said that the Chatzar and the Aksadra could combine to form an area of Dalet Amos. According to Rabbi Zera, it makes sense, because according to Rabbi Zera, again, Rabbi Osai, the idea is all you need is actual space. So all you need is 4 amos of space in order for the waste to be absorbed. That works even if part of the space comes from the chazir, even if part of it comes from the achsandra. El Rabbi Kasha, but according to Rabbi, this still wouldn't be a significant space. Tirgima Rabbi Zera Aliba de Rabba, ba'achsandra mahalechas api kala chazir kula. So Rabbi Zera said, well, you can understand it according to Rabbi as an achsandra that spans the entire length of the chazir, in which case then it would be an extent, or it would be a significant usable area. Tashma. Chatzer she'ein ba dalet al dalet amos, ein shofchin l'socha mayim. If you have a chatzer that doesn't have dalet by dalet amos, you can't pour wastewater into it. Well, say what that means is you can't pour wastewater into it without a uka, without a cesspool. Bishlam al rabbi necha. According to Rabbi, that makes sense because Rabbi was the one who says that only an area that's dalet by dalet is significant. Anything less is insignificant. El Rabbi Zera kasha. But according to Rabbi Zera, it's a kasha. Because, well, according to Rabbi Zera, you don't need dalet by dalet. You just need a significant enough area that lemaisa, the waste can be absorbed as it flows. Whose opinion is that? That's the Rabbanon. Umasnisin Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi. And our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So we'll say, remember, the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon is in the Mishnah. That Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov allows you to what? Pour wastewater directly into our, what did we agree to call it? So now, remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov allowed you to pour directly into the drainage furrow, right? Chachamim say you couldn't. Chachamim say, remember, pour it on your friend's house when he's not home, and it'll trickle into the drainage furrow. So now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "Umay duchke Rabbi Zera the ukmi lemasisik Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why does Rabbi Zera establish this Mishnah as being stated by Eliezer ben Yaakov? Amar Rabba masnisin kashisa, because ultimately the Mishnah is difficult. My area the tani chazir shepachusa listni chazir shein badal ramos. Why does it have to say a chazir that's less? A chazir that's less than dalamos. Why don't you say a chazir that doesn't have dal ramos?" Ella lav shmamina Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov ishmamina. Rather, it must be because it reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But one second, v'hami the seif Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov reisha lav Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But I will say the fact that the seif of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that's clearly indicative of the fact that the reisha, that the seifa is not. Excuse me, the fact that the seifa is indicative that the reisha is not. Rabbi, so the Gemara says, kula Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. In reality, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And it's missing parts, and this is what it means to say. If you have a chatzar that says midalad amos, ein shofchen l'socha mayim b'shabbos. You can't pour wastewater into it on Shabbos. Ha dalad amos, but if it's actually dalad amos, shofchen, you can. Why? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, Biv hakomer dal amutush sarabim shofchin l'socha mayim b'shabbos. Because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that a covered pipe, a covered drainage furrow that extends dal amutush sarabim, you could pour water into it on Shabbos. So we'll say what it's just reflecting over here is that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is of the opinion that Lamaisa, as long as you have an area of Dalet Amos, that is enough area for absorption to occur. Therefore, Lamaisa, if you have a chatzar of Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos or more, then you could pour wastewater into the chatzar even without what? even without an ukah, even without a cesspool, because the ma'aseh we assume there's enough area for it to be absorbed before it flows into the Rosh Hashanah. Now, I will say again, it doesn't mean that it won't flow into the Rosh Hashanah. It just means that the possibility exists that it doesn't have to flow into the Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Biv HaKomer. So the Gemara says, remember, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that you could pour directly into a covered drainage furrow as long as it extends for 4 amos. Masnisen delo kichananya. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Chananya. The Sanya, Chananya or Chananya says, Afilu gag meya amo, lo yishpoch. Chananya says that you can't even pour over a roof that extends for 100 amos. Lefi she'ein hagag asui livloa, ela lekaleach. Because again, a roof doesn't absorb, but rather ultimately it trickles. And I will say, what this is saying is Chananya is of the opinion that Lemaisa, not only can you not go ahead and empty the waste directly into the drainage pipe, but you can't even empty it onto any area that does not absorb, and that will ultimately trickle into the drainage pipe. So both say, Chananya is even more machmir than the Chachamim, because the Chachamim at least hold that as much as he can't pour saline directly into the drainage pipe, Chachamim say at least what? That you can go ahead and pour it on another area that will then drain into the drainage pipe. Chananya says that you can't empty the waste on any area that is only used to, that is only going to trickle, meaning on any area that won't absorb, because ultimately pouring it on a non-absorbent area is tantamount, says Chananya, to what? To pouring it directly into the drainage furrow. Tana. Now the Gemara says, when do you require an ukah? The medzar amurim b'mosachama. This is only in the summertime. Aval b'mosag yishamim shofech v'shona ve'eno nimna. But Rabbi say, apparently in the winter, that's the most of the rainy season. In the winter time, pour out as much waste as you want. Right? Ve'eno nimna. And you don't have to worry about it. My time, well, what's the reason? So I'll say, remember, now what the Gemara is qualifying is the following. The Mishnah said, if you have a chatzar, remember we have two cases. Case one is a chatzar that's more than dalet al dalet. In that case, what? What do I need? Nothing. Right? They can pour it directly into the chatzar because there's enough area there for the waste to be absorbed. Less than dalet by dalet, then lemaisa I need a ukah, I need a cesspool. Now the Gemara says, when do you need a cesspool? That's only true in the summertime. However, in the winter, you could pour as much waste as you want. My time, Amarava, Adam rotze sheyivlu mayimim koman. Ultimately, because a person wants the water to be absorbed right where it is, Amarle Abaye, v'hare shovchin, the Adam rotze sheyivla, v'katani lo yishpoch. So, but yet the Mishnah says that when it comes to shovchin, I'm sorry, not the Mishnah, Abaye, so when it comes to Shofchin, a person also wants the wastewater to be absorbed, and yet the Mishnah says you still can't do it. Amrali hasam l'may nechushle, imishom kilkul chatzero, ha-mekalko v'kaima. So I'll say, remember, the reason you can pour it out during the winter months is why? Because what are we worried about? If we're worried about ruining your chatzer, the truth is the chatzer is already ruined. Why? Because during the rainy season, everything becomes mud anyway. Imishom gezer shem yomru. See, if you want to say that there's a concern that if people see you doing it, pouring wastewater out in a chatzar, that's less than 4 amos, people will say, ah, literally the faucet of Ploni is pouring water into the Shurabim, he's pouring water into the Shurabim. Sam stam tsinoros mekalchim hay. Then, also remember, during the rainy season anyway, most people are already dumping their stuff into the Shurabim. Amar Rav Nachman, b'mosag yishamim uka machzik sasayim, Nostim lo sasayim. So Rav Nachman says the following. During the rainy season, if you have a cesspool that could hold 2 sa'ah of liquid, that's the amount of waste that you're allowed to dispose in there. Machzik sa'ah, nostim lo sa'ah. If it only holds 1 sa'ah, you could eliminate waste of 1 sa'ah. Bimosachama during the summertime, machzik sasayim. If it holds 2 sa'ah, nostim lo sasayim. Then ultimately you could put in 2 sa'ah. Sa'ah, however, if it only holds 1 sa'ah, ain nostin lo kol ikar. You can't put anything into it. Well, so apparently the concern seems to be that if it only holds 1 sa'ah, which is a relatively small amount, if we allow you to use it at all, you're certainly going to end up overflowing it. Nami machzik sa'ah nesiv le'sa'ah. But I understand, even in the summertime, if you have a cesspool that's able to hold 1 sa'ah, at least let them dispose of 1 sa'ah. Gezera de ma'asi litin lo sasayim. There's a concern that you may come to dispose of 2 sa'ah in it. But if that's the case, that even if it holds, well, so even if it holds 1 sa'ah, then we're concerned you're going to dispose of 2 sa'ah, and therefore, by definition, it will overflow into the Shtarabim. So why don't we make that same gezer during the rainy season? Hasam ma'nechoshlei. During the rainy season, what are we concerned about? If we're concerned about ruining his chatzar, hamakalkal of a kaima. then ultimately, again, it's the chatzah is already ruined. It's already muddy. It's already the rainy season. And if you're going to say that it's a concern that people are going to see that my drainage ditch is flowing into Rosh Sarabim, the Gemara during the rainy season, that's not a problem. Why? Stam tsinoros hilch makalchin. Stam tsinoros, during the rainy season, everybody's dumping their ways into Rosh Sarabim because the roads are already muddied and already compromised, and therefore that's not a problem. Therefore, the Gemara says, Amra baye hilchach afilu korva afilu kurayim. Therefore, Abayi Sirbo saying this is halacha lemaisa, that during the rainy season, even if you only have a cesspool that holds two sa'a, in reality you could dump as much waste as you want to into that cesspool, even though you know that what? That by definition it's going to flow into the Rosh Sarabim, since during the rainy season when the roads are already compromised, everyone's doing that anyway. All right, we'll say, well, we'll pick up over here tomorrow.